Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford. Instead of your radio or your listening device, you're listening to another exciting episode of Duncan's Garage, coming to you right here from the auspices of Dragon Digital Radio here on the campus of Howard Community College in beautiful Columbia, Maryland. So glad you've joined us. Got a CD and across my desk. It was pretty recent, probably no more than, what, 6-7 weeks ago, from a wonderful publicist, and she said, check this stuff out, and I did. The name of the group is Sweet Ever After, and the name of the CD is Adoration Project. It's a husband and wife team. The main voice is Amy Pearl and her husband of 17 years. And again, he's on the guitar. And Amy joins me now by phone from San Diego. Amy, how are you? Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm doing great. It's awesome to be here.
Oh, thank you very much. This CD came out, what, just a few weeks ago? And it's a departure from your original rock and roll sound.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. Your beginnings and how you got into music. You're originally from Canada, correct?
Yeah. I was actually born in England,
but
lived the majority of my childhood in Canada.
Okay.
And met my husband years and years ago when we were a lot younger.
Okay.
He was touring in a punk band, and I was at one of his shows. So that is how we met, and then we just kind of clicked. We clicked because we both shared the same faith and the same God. And
you pretty much met each other at a local club?
Well, I was smitten because he was a guitar player.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, all the girls like guitar players.
Yes. That's right.
At one of the main concert halls that we had up there, and his band was playing, and I just had gone there with friends to see him. And I mean, it was just sort of the eyes moving across the room, and I saw him, and
yes,
he saw me, and
yes,
he kind of smiled, and then I was smitten. And the whole entire night, my friends were like, you have to go say something to him, you have to say something. And
right,
I was like, oh no, I can't. He's a guitar player, he's in a band, he's not going to, you know, pay attention to me. But God had other plans, and,
right,
you know, it just so happened we ended up connecting, and yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
Very cool. What was the reason for the move from Canada to San Diego?
Well, my husband is actually, he's dual American, so a lot of his family is in Washington State.
Interesting.
And so he went to college down here, majoring in music, and always wanted to come back, back down to the States and
gotcha,
kind of make a go of things here. So
okay,
we knew when we had gotten married that we would probably be coming back down here.
Sure.
And then probably about 4 or 5 years into our marriage, when we started just getting kind of more serious about the band and more serious about writing our music and performing and kind of making a name for ourselves up in Canada,
okay,
you know, we just decided that there was a lot more opportunity and just a lot more, just a lot more bandwidth in the States.
Yes.
And so we made the decision to move down here and make a go of it. And
okay,
we actually were originally looking at Washington State because that's where his family
gotcha
is. We laugh now because, you know, San Diego, the weather here is pretty much perfect all the time.
Okay.
You know, and coming from Canada,
okay,
kind of laugh because it's almost like the Lord placed us here. And he was
exactly
just like, yep, you guys will like it here.
Okay, very cool. I want to talk more about your personal side in a couple of minutes. I looked on your Facebook page. If you go on sweeteverafter.net, again, sweeteverafter.net, it's a wonderful website. You guys rock the stuff out of Black Hole Sun. And I want to tell our listeners something. I had not heard of this song. I'm watching... True story. This is about
really?
Three. You know what? I'm contemporary Christian music. It's not that I wasn't allowed to listen to the hard rock stuff. I Googled the song. I'm like, okay, done by Soundgarden.
The cover of Black Hole Sun is, it was my husband's baby. I had run out of town for the weekend to spend some time with friends.
Right.
And we have a studio. And so he went into the studio and crafted that over the weekend. And it was very close after Chris Cornell had, you know, gone the way that he had done.
Right.
That song and that band in particular were just very close to our hearts because when we had met way back, we were both, it was, you know, around that time when
yes,
grunge was a thing.
Yes.
And
yes,
when we had first met each other and we were having coffee and just getting to know each other, and I found out that he was in Seattle and the Seattle scene, like
right,
when it was on fire,
right,
I was kind of like, meal ticket for me. I was like, what?
That's cool.
You know, and Chris Cornell just has such an awesome voice. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, there's so much amazing musical artistry in the music that Soundgarden made. And a lot of that, I think, even when you listen to our first album, My Death,
yes,
and Jay especially, has always been trying to kind of push the envelope when it comes to that kind of thing. You know, because music can be so homogenized.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and we homogenize it ourselves because there's stuff that's like safe to listen to. But when you do that, you kind of take the artistry and the beauty out of some of the stuff that you can create.
Right.
And so our goal with our music, and even with cover songs, is to try to make them something that is our own and something that is unique and different.
Let's take a quick break and have you hear, again, this is from Adoration Project and Sweet Ever After. This is your third CD, am I correct, Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Track number two, American Prayer. This song will hit you like a ton of bricks because it did me. It will convict you, ladies and gentlemen. It really will. And we'll talk with Amy on the other side of American Prayer on Duncan's Garage.
What's been long ago, fade and gather dust of iniquity and pride, thievery and lust. A miracle, where is your beauty, your thirst for what was just? Where are the soldiers who sang, oh, in God we trust? Blood once stained this life-giving ground, and from it up it sprang new hope, new love, new sound. But now all the buildings, they are tumbling down, down, down. Oh, in God we trust, but in our sin we've drowned. Is there a time to turn away? Season to weep and pray. If we seek, I am, will he hear? What would he say? Have mercy upon America. If we seek, I am, will he hear? What would he say? Have mercy upon America. Become technology slaves. America forgets the words it once had saved. Oh, in God we trust as we dig our own graves. And is this the time to turn away? And is it a season to weep and pray? And if we see, upon America. If we seek, I am, or will he hear? What would he say? Have mercy upon America. If we seek, I what?
the group is Sweet Ever After, and it's Amy Pearl and her husband Jay. You just heard American Prayer. Amy, go into detail about this song. This is powerful, and it's taken from 2 Chronicles 7:14. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was inspired by that piece of scripture,
okay.
As well as actually spoken word poem that a really good friend of mine had written.
Hmm.
And she had wrote it out of that piece of scripture, and she just has such a heart for the nation and such a heart for the history of America.
Yes.
And we were really, really tight. And she had approached me a long time ago and was like, I would love for you to just, you know, do your take on these words and the scripture and make it into something, you know. And it was so interesting because, you know, so many songs kind of start out like this. You know, they just start out as seeds, and
right.
you don't really know, you know, once you germinate them, what they're going to become.
That's right.
And this is kind of one of those songs that was just written from a very personal place between her heart and my heart. And we kind of collabed and worked on it together and then just started playing it. And the song just started catching. Like, everybody who heard it was just so moved by it.
Yes.
And it's hard not to be moved by it, I think, because, you know, when you look at the state of the world, not just America, but just the state of, you know, where we are in time and history and space, and just thinking about just all of the stuff that, you know, the human scape of our experience right now.
Yes.
It just, there's so much of it that rings true. And there's so much of it, I think, that a lot of times you might feel really helpless about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of one of those songs where I have to tread lightly, because it's kind of this balance between, like, owning up to our responsibility in it, but at the same time understanding where our help comes from.
Does that make sense? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking here at some papers I received. You said, you know, it puts into words your cry, which I hope will be a corporate cry for us to humble our hearts, seek forgiveness, and ask the Lord for healing for ourselves as individuals and our nation. There's a couple of things that really reached out to me in this song. That, number one, you talk about us being a slave to technology. And whenever I come here to work and I'm on the college campus, you know, they're and I'm not putting down phones and technology and everything like that. I'm not, because, you know, one of my daughters loves the Musical.ly app and all that. And, you know, can I have the phone? Is it charged up and everything else? But again, and I've said this on the program before, we need to look up, you know. Just not everybody, people, you know, Christians, non-Christians. I mean, there was so much that God put on this earth for us to do. And again, I'm not putting down Christian websites either, but there is life in front of us. And I think because of the technology, we just want to put our heads down and, you know, go on our social media, go on our Facebook, you know, see who's messaging us, see who's, you know, what's trending. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that. You know, it's about a God who created us, and that we are here to serve him, serve others, and do what he wants us to do, and to find that out. You know, again, I'm just preaching here on my soapbox, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think too, like, when I was writing that line down, you know, it made me think too, anything is good in moderation, you know, and technology is good in moderation.
Yes.
But I think now we have become such a social media society that a lot of times that world seems more real than the actual stuff that we deal with every day, and we can get lost in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't realize that the stuff that we used to use for entertainment has actually become, you know, it's become our captor. Instead of us wielding what that power is, it is now wielding us into this place where we become ineffective as people and as Christians.
Right, exactly. Take me back to when you first became a Christian, when you first came to know the Lord. Take me back to those days, if you would, Amy.
Sure. I became Christian, a Christ follower, my senior year of high school. And I was in a really lost, dark place. I think a lot of young people are. Just growing up is really difficult, you know, no matter where you're from, no matter what your family background is.
Right.
My family background was not the best. It came from a single mom family. I didn't know my dad at all. And so I just had no father figures in my life whatsoever.
Right.
And just was really, in high school, I was just really struggling. I struggled with my worth. I struggled with fitting in. I struggled with, you know, thinking that I was good enough or smart enough or just anything enough.
Right.
Nothing was enough. And I was just really, really depressed, probably, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up just having a relationship with a fellow who was Christian. He was my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we would have these big, long, epic talks in his car about, you know, God and the devil and demons and light and dark and all these epic things. And after a while, I would listen to him and I realized, I was like, this stuff is real. Like, I believe that there are demons. I believe that there is a light and a dark. I mean, it doesn't take, you just look at the world and you can see that there is a struggle going on. And it's not with flesh and blood. It's with, you know, the stuff that we cannot necessarily see.
That's right.
And I realized what he was saying was true. And I just remember we were speaking and he dropped me off at home and I went up to my bedroom and I was kind of laying there trying to go to sleep. And it was like my heart would not rest.
Hmm.
And I just kept thinking about it, and I just knew. I was like, if I believe these things, then I need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is,
yes.
And he did what it says that he did.
Right.
And so I prayed the prayer that night, and I'll never forget, I didn't say anything to anybody because I didn't really think it was a big deal
right.
at the time. And I think a couple weeks later, I ended up talking with him and just mentioning to him that I had prayed it. And he was like, what? You did what? He's like, that's fantastic. And I was like, I don't know. I just, you know, it was just such a natural thing to me. And I didn't have like a conversion that was all anything like that. Sometimes I wish I did because nothing
right.
immediately changed right away in my life. But I think like looking back, I can see that that was a real turning point. For me, because this is what God does. This is a testament to who he is. But my whole attitude and my emotional state changed. And I didn't realize it at the time. But when I look back, I can see I was no longer that sad, forlorn, you know, wanting to basically kill myself girl. I became this person who realized that I had worth because there was somebody you know, a God out there who actually thought of me before I was born,
right.
You know, coming from a family who I was technically an accident.
So,
you know, so you kind of struggle with that whole feeling of your worth. And especially when you have a parent that leaves you, you struggle with your worth because
yes.
you're like, well, I wasn't good enough or,
yeah.
you know, all of those things. So it was a turning around period in my life
wow.
for sure in so many ways.
Okay.
And I just became a different person. I viewed
wow.
the world differently. I treated people differently. I treated myself differently. And it was kind of the beginning of, you know, the beautiful ever after that life
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Thank you so much for sharing that. I greatly appreciate that. Let's take our second break here on this program. It's just a wonderful conversation we're having with Amy. I want you to hear track 5. This has a little bit of a country twang to it. It's fantastic. The name of the song is Abandon. It's probably my favorite track on the entire EP. Here's Abandon from Amy and Jay, Sweet Ever After on Duncan's Garage.
What you've done for I'm a band.
And you just heard a wonderful song from Sweet Ever After. And again, it's just a phenomenal song. Their CD is entitled Adoration Project. The name of the song is Abandoned. Amy, talk about Abandoned. This song is powerful. It's got a little bit of a country twang, and it's got a hook that is, it just gets stuck in your head. Talk about the song, if you would.
I was leading worship at a women's retreat a couple years ago, and we were just speaking to the thought that what would life really be like if we lived just fully and completely surrendered and abandoned to God, you know, and what would that look like, and what is stopping us, and, and all of those things. And in my quiet time during that conference, I just kind of peeled myself away from all of the hustle and bustle and found a quiet spot and sat down with my guitar and my journal and just started writing and thinking about what that would look like for myself. And just even the places where I struggle with giving myself completely to him, and just how he is so faithful, even when, you know, we're kind of wandering on our own path to come back. And, you know, his mercy just grabs us. It's kind of what the chorus talks about. And so
we've got a few minutes left. I mean, again, the CD is fantastic. Talk about your dad. You mentioned your mom. And just talk about the journey finding him and what happened 7 years ago. And then we'll wrap things up and tell our listeners how to get a copy of the CD.
Well, it's interesting. So my dad actually technically found me. I wasn't looking for him. We were really doing a lot of playing and touring with our band. And we were actually working on the debut album and doing recording and things up in L.A. and all these stuff. And I was one night just kind of catching up on some work, and I received a Facebook message from a girl who said in around these words that she thinks that her dad is my biological father. And of course, I think that was one of the very first times in my life that I was probably legitimately speechless. I could not say anything.
Yes.
And Jay's looking at me and he's like, what's going on? What's the matter? What's the matter? And I just was sitting there staring at my computer screen going like, I can't believe what just happened. And because we were so active with the band, you know, there can be, you know, some of the kooks come out of the closet.
So right.
I was trying to be really careful. And so I had asked her if she could send me, you know, like, do you have pictures? You know, like, can you substantiate your claim?
Sure, sure.
She ended up sending me a website that was his. And she was like, you know, I don't really have any current pictures, but he's got this website. And you know, being from England, the British man that he is, his website's completely quirky and very British.
Right.
But he had pictures on there of himself, and I saw him, and I just knew. I had one picture, I still have it, one picture of me with my dad when I was a baby.
Huh.
And I looked at him, and I was like, totally him. Like, it's him without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it really floored me to make, I mean, the whole story of the whole thing is way longer than
sure.
5 minutes that we have
sure.
to talk, but
sure.
To make kind of a longer story short, he was unaware in the beginning that his family had found me, so it was very difficult for him to come to the realization that there was now this long-lost daughter that he did not think he would probably ever see again.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is like 30-some years. This is, you know, 30-some years of history and family, and he had a whole family of his own. I have 10 other brothers and sisters that he has, with his wife at the time and stuff. And so I think it was just a lot for him to take.
Yes.
And I mean, and he tried. He really did. But I just found the longer that I spoke with him and the more, because, you know, you go into these things with an expectation. And I think this is like this with anything in life. I had the expectation that I had found my father, and my father had found me. And I was like, finally, God, like, I get to see what it's like to have a dad, you know, because I never had one.
Right.
And I had all of this hope inside of me. And then to just kind of come to the realization, because, you know, all men are broken. Broken people create broken people. And I just came to the realization that he just has a lot of brokenness in his life.
Mm.
And he was unable to give me what I wanted and even to give me what I needed. And it would be more painful for me to try to pursue that from somebody who is so broken, instead of trying to collect the brokenness, the new brokenness that I now had carried inside of me, and try to put that together. And I felt like God gave me a real grace, and he's still giving me grace to go through that, because, you know, every once in a while you come around the merry-go-round again, you have to like kind of face that aspect of your life again.
Right.
But every time that I do, I just feel like the Lord's like, no, like, this is okay. You know, I think of him all the time. I still pray for him when I think of him and stuff. But sure. I had to make that decision in my personal life to let that go.
Yeah.
And that was hard, but it was good.
Again, they can get the CD at sweeteverafter.net. That's the website. It's all one word. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Amy? Sweeteverafter.net.
Yeah, you got it. That's right.
Excellent. Amy Pearl from San Diego, California. Thank you so much for joining me on the phone today. Again, sweeteverafter.net. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the time today. Greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
That's going to do it from Yaron Stafford. Thanking you very much, as always, for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.